today on Real Radio.
There's only one place in the universe. And you can go there today. You can catch a flight. It's 15 hours right now from LAX to Tel Aviv. It's an hour's drive up by taxi. You can stand there and walk into that tomb and see absolutely nothing.
You're listening to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. And it is a special presentation here on this Passion Week, this being Good Friday. Let me tell you what we're doing here. I'm David J., by the way, in studio with my friend Pastor Jack. What we're doing is we've taken from last weekend up to this weekend, and each day of the week we've explained what's gone on during the Passion Week on that particular day. Now, today being Good Friday, we're going to talk about Friday, but we're also going to talk about Resurrection Sunday. And interestingly enough, let me throw this out there, Pastor Jack, real quick before we jump in.
Sure.
Not a lot went on Saturday, so we're not going to spend any time at all on Saturday. We're going to talk about Good Friday and Easter Sunday. What does the Scripture say about Saturday?
The Scriptures say only one thing about Saturday. And we know that in Luke chapter 23, verse 56. I'll read it to you. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. In other words, the traditional Sabbath was to be a time of reflection and of rejoicing, of worship and of praise. Now, I got to ask you, from what we know of the Scriptures, from what we know from Resurrection Sunday morning, they were very depressed, they were very sad and unbelieving. I have a hard time believing, I wasn't there, I don't know, but I have a hard time believing that that Saturday was much of a praise and worship day, although it should have been. Imagine the difference. If they would have known the Old Testament Scriptures, and now, friends, listen, I'm joking, I'm exaggerating intentionally with this.
Go ahead.
They would have known on that Saturday, they could have prepared their best clothes for Sunday morning. They could have polished their shoes. They could have got their best dress and their best tie out. They got their best hat on, right?
Yep.
And they might have even gotten, you know, some special food going. Because tomorrow they were going to celebrate, because according to the Scriptures, Jesus had told them, look to Jonah. You'll know how this ends. And they could have been wonderfully anticipating a great day of celebration. I think that they were mourning and they were hiding and they were terrified on that day. So that's just a side note. Now we break upon the scene of Sunday morning, which is, for, of course, resurrection morning.
So let's get into Friday morning. Let me ask you a question real quick. Did the trials of Jesus start on Thursday night or did they start on Friday morning? Is that a fair question?
Well, you know what? I just took your question in a different way, so I'm going to answer both.
Go ahead.
The trials of Jesus happened on Thursday. When I say trials, I mean the difficulty. How's that?
Okay.
Your trial, my trial, his trial on Thursday.
Fair
enough. Legal proceedings, or should I say the illegal proceedings, all those,
fair enough.
Hey, what's recorded in the Bible regarding these courtroom trials, it's a joke. It's not only a joke, they were illegal based upon Roman law and Jewish law. So that's why they're referred to as a kangaroo court. It was a joke. So those trials began very, very early in the early breaking hours of Friday in the dark, long before sunrise.
Yeah.
The trials were underway.
And the most famous of all the trials is the one where he went before Pontius Pilate, and that happened, so the Scripture says, on Friday morning. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death, and the day continued with being, some would call it the worst day in eternity. Some would call it the best day in eternity. Is that a fair enough assumption to make?
It's fine. There's other worse days and other great days, but it's certainly, you know, in that order of a horrific time. But hey, listen, again, this is the joy about knowing your Bible, is this is a day that we knew had to happen. This is a day that we knew would happen. This is a day that we're glad that did happen, because without this happening, we would never have known that Jesus was examined by the empire. We would never have known about these courtroom proceedings, as it were. We would have never have known that, for example, what is truth was asked of him. What is truth? And Jesus proclaims that that he is in fact truth, standing before the hierarchy and leadership of the world. Remarkable, think of it. And on it goes. So prescribed by God, based upon the foreknowledge of God, these things have been predetermined, and they are truly awesome.
So we're looking at the book of Matthew, chapter 27 specifically, and we'll talk about the 3D view in just a second, but let me give you a quick overview of what went on Good Friday, Matthew chapter 27. Jesus was handed over to Pilate. Judas hung himself that day. Jesus faced Pilate. Jesus faced Herod. Barabbas was given to the crowd in place of Jesus. The soldiers mocked Jesus. Simon carries the cross. This all happened on Good Friday. Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. Tell the folks what the sign said that was put above Jesus' head.
This is fascinating because the placard that was nailed above the head of Jesus, which is interesting to note, by the way, everybody listen up. Some people say Jesus was crucified on a T. Looks like a shape of a T, capital T.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was definitely a form of crucifixion in those days. But others were crucified in what is the shape of the traditional cross. Jesus was crucified on what is the traditional cross. How do we know for sure? How do we know scientifically? Because eyewitness accounts tell us that over Jesus' head was nailed a placard.
Yeah.
The wood over his head of the cross.
Yeah.
This is Jesus, the king of the Jews.
Right.
And the leadership said, no, no, edit that.
Yeah.
Say, this is Jesus. He said he was the king of the Jews. Not that he is the king of the Jews. Isn't it amazing that whatever guy down the hallway in the graphics department of the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
You know, hammers out Jesus, the king of the Jews. This is right. Jesus, the king of the Jews. I find that incredibly awesome. In the book of Colossians, it says that Jesus Christ, having nailed our sins to his cross and the handwriting of ordinances that were written against us.
Yeah.
Wow, what does that mean?
Yeah.
When it says, this is Jesus, king of the Jews, it's awesome. This is Jesus, king of the Jews. This is the Messiah of not only the Jews, but of the world. And he was the one nailed to the cross for my sins. All of my absolute sin and rebellion against God, Jesus is there fulfilling. So Jack, being a prideful man, a liar, lustful, angry, self-centered, whatever you and I are, Jesus was nailed to the cross. That's me. That's me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, it there says that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might receive the righteousness of God that is available through him by faith. Jesus died in our place. That's what was going on.
So let me continue, because I did ask you to tell me about the sign above Jesus' head, because I knew that there was more to it than this is just a sign.
Yeah,
the two thieves were hung beside Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus was mocked by the crowd, the chief priests, the scribes. Darkness came over the whole land on this Good Friday. Jesus was given some sour wine. Jesus yielded up his spirit. The veil was torn, an earthquake. Graves were opened. Jesus was buried in Joseph's tomb.
Right.
And Pilate sets a guard. All this happened on that one day.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 says that while Jesus is hanging there, that he has no physical resemblance of a human being.
Wow.
It says there in Isaiah 53 that he was disfigured more than any human being.
Unbelievable.
Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if you saw The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, people were angry because it was so, it made Jesus look so bloody. Honestly, what Mel Gibson failed to do in that movie was correctly represent what Jesus looked like. Yeah. The Bible says he didn't resemble the shape of a human. It's almost as though Jesus was put into a blender and then his body reassembled, if graphically speaking. It was beyond grotesque, friends. And yet the Bible calls it Good Friday. The term actually means God's Friday. We say this morning, good morning. We say good night. We say good day if you're down under. We say Good Friday. That whole term, good morning, is actually from the Old English greeting, God's morning to you. God's morning to you. God's evening to you. God's Friday to you. It's a good Friday. Why? Because it was God's Friday to us. It was God on the cross.
So to be fair to all the good folks that have been listening all week long as we've been paying very close attention to this Passion Week, can you explain the 3D view concept? We're in Matthew chapter 27 at the moment, but can you just run, and for the good folks that have been listening every day with their pen and paper ready, can you hit us with the 3D view?
Yeah, the 3D view is what we mentioned earlier in the week. Remember an overlay or a description or a legend that is making something that is more clear? So you may have representation number one, and maybe that is the foundation of a structure, and that would be Matthew.
Yeah.
And then you have overlay number two, and that would be more of the electrical and of the air conditioning and of the vents and of all that stuff. That's Mark.
Yeah.
And then you would lay down Luke, and Luke would show you where the walls are at. Luke would show you where the lighting is at. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you lay down John, and John shows you the color.
Yep.
John shows you the carpet. John shows you the roof and the beauty. John, listen, all four Gospels paint a picture. Now, look, you may be somewhere in the world and you don't have a Bible, but you have a part of Matthew or a part of Luke, or you have only Luke, or you have only John. Isn't it amazing? You can read any of the four Gospels and get completely saved and born again. But to understand it even more fully, if you have that privilege available to you, you can look at the four Gospels and realize, oh my. And I love what God says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
If you
right.
have available today, friends, the internet,
yep.
a Bible, if you can go online and read the Bible or hear it audibly, to whom much is given, that's you, much is required. And you and I today have no excuse as to why we do not know these four Gospels front and back.
So fair enough that Good Friday was a very, very busy day, for lack of a better term, in the Passion Week. Saturday, not a lot went on.
As far as we know, nothing went on.
Yeah, really. Exactly. So let's get into Resurrection Sunday. You smiled when I said it, and so did I. Sunday is the, go ahead.
Well, you know, Davey, last fall on this program, last fall, we talked about how Christian and uniquely Christian Thanksgiving is.
Yeah.
Right? Thanksgiving in America is 100% Christian holiday. There's no paganism related to it. It's Christian. If you understand the pilgrim story, Thanksgiving is uniquely Christian. When you come to Christmas, now Jesus was not born on December 25th. That's irrelevant. The fact is, Jesus was born. And we love Christmas.
Yeah.
We love the doctrine of Christmas and the great saintly hymns. But now we come to this resurrection week, this Passover week, this Passion Week. And all of that, including the entire Old Testament, would have all been irrelevant.
Yeah.
If there was not an empty tomb in Jerusalem on Sunday morning, not only an empty tomb, but according to John's gospel, it had to be a tomb of a rich man.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be the tomb that was in a garden.
Right.
It had to be a tomb that was, quote, a stone's throw away from the cross.
Mm.
There's only one spot in the universe that has been unearthed by the shovel of the archaeologist that reveals a large rich man's tomb that has been held sacred since the first century in a garden with a large cistern that holds water for that garden that is a stone's throw away. Friends, listen, I've been there 17 times. I'm telling you
really?
Now. Yeah. If you stand at the point of the place of the skull, Golgotha,
yeah,
and you throw a rock, a stone's throw away in any direction,
Yeah.
There's only one garden within the scope of your throw.
Yeah.
And there would have to be a tomb there. It would have to be a rich man's tomb, meaning it has to be big.
Mm.
And it had to be with that proximity to the cross, the place of the skull, Golgotha, Calvary. There's only one place in the universe. Yeah. And you can go there today. You can catch a flight. It's 15 hours right now from LAX to Tel Aviv. It's an hour's drive up by taxi. You can stand there and walk into that tomb and see absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
You can go to some other parts of the world and visit the bones and the dust of religious founders. Good luck, because that's all you have. When you go and visit the tomb of my founder, as it were, the one I'm following, it's empty.
Yeah.
He's not there. He's not there because he's not dead.
When you talk like that, producer Steve just about jumps out of his chair. Did you notice that?
Well, I came in here this morning not feeling very well, but after I just said that, I'm all excited, and I think I got healed just now talking about it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is.
Out of those 17 times, by the way, I've been in that tomb with you three of those times.
Uh-huh.
We stood there, and it's awe-inspiring to think that, let's go back, just to be fair, because we got a couple of minutes here. Just to be fair, let's talk about Saturday for a second, because we just passed over it real quick. All right? We went by it real fast because the scripture doesn't say a lot about it. But can you speculate on what was going on in the minds and the lives of the disciples on that day before they saw Jesus risen from the dead?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it the other day, but I can only speculate, as you say. The Bible does tell us that on Saturday that mm-hmm. they prepared for the Passover, which is normal every Shabbat.
Right.
They prepared spices, which means this was a little bit different because they were going to go and try to figure out how to roll back the stone so they could embalm the body so he could have a proper Jewish burial. So they've got spices going on, but it's very clear they're at home. They stayed home. They didn't go outside. They are probably very depressed, very sad, very confused, and probably in a great, great amount of shock, quite frankly.
And then came Sunday.
You know, years ago, Davey, you might remember this in L.A., the great black preacher in Los Angeles, who's now with Jesus, he was talking about like we've been talking about all week. And he talked about how Jesus was crucified and laid in the tomb. But the message was, but Sunday's a-coming.
Yeah.
He said, it may be Thursday, but Sunday's a-coming. He said, it may be Friday. Jesus is on the cross. But Sunday's a-coming, and it is a powerful message. It's all true, and Sunday has come. And yet, here we are, 21 centuries later, man is darker than he ever has been. Man is more corrupt. The world is more on fire on a global scale. We've got more illumination, but less light. Mm. We've got more information available, but we're less smart. We have tons of data, but there's very few wise people in the world today.
Mm.
We've got prophetic fulfillments looming all around us as we see Russia teaming up to go against Israel momentarily. We've got the globe almost in flames, and yet everything is indicating all things are on track. Nothing's falling apart. It's all coming together. God's prophetic word says so. This is a time of great hope for the believer because we don't have to do drugs. We don't have to do sex. We don't have to do, all the stuff that's going on in this world to find our fulfillment. No, we have him and we look up. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up because your redemption draws near. Jesus said in Luke 21:36, pray. Pray that you might be found worthy to escape all of these things that are coming upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. That's the issue. This is where we end. To be found worthy? How in the world can you and I be found worthy? We cannot. We can't but by putting our faith in him who is worthy. If we trust Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, to have died in our place according to the scriptures, that is resurrected from the dead according to the scriptures, that ascended to the right hand of God the Father according to the scriptures, that all those who put their trust in him would experience forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus said, if you do that, though a man were to die, yet shall he live. If you were to do that, my friend, you would experience the release now of guilt and of shame. The Holy Spirit will take possession of your life, and he will begin to work in you now, and he's the one that is responsible to prepare you to be a recipient of heaven, that you would be, as Jesus said, born again in that moment. Remember, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. So the question is today, are you born again? On this God's Friday, on this broadcast, have you given your heart to Jesus Christ personally? I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about signing the roster. I'm not talking about you writing a check. I'm talking about you presenting your life to Jesus today, right where you're at, and saying, Lord, forgive me for sinning against you. I need your salvation. I don't want to live my life with me anymore in control. I want to live my life now with you in control. Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life, because I believe today you died and rose again from the dead. And if you made that request to God today, we would love to hear from you for this reason. We want to know if this ministry has an effect. We're not trying to market you. We're not trying to get your name to put you on some mail out. We want to know if you heard his voice and you're responding. We'd love to know that. Listen, the people who support this program, that's what they want to hear. We will pass your note on to the amazing, precious, generous people that allow us to do this radio program. And it lets them know that their spiritual investments have an eternal reward, an eternal value. So please let us know.
You know, if you just made a decision for Christ and you'd like to get a hold of somebody to talk to, maybe to help you walk through the next few steps, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that contact tab, because we would really like to know about your decision for Christ. Maybe you've made that decision for Christ and you've got a few questions. Why don't you get in contact with us? Hit the contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You could also check out that Know God video that we've got at our website. That's K-N-O-W, Know God. If you've just made that decision and you'd like to know a little bit more, then head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit that Know God tab. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. These books are going to inspire you and help you grow in your walk with the Lord. And this month's book of the month is called Russia Rising, Tracking the Bear in Bible Prophecy. It's written by Mark Hitchcock. Putin is poised right now on the northern border of Israel, an ominous sign of our times. Be sure to pick up Russia Rising, Tracking the Bear in Bible Prophecy. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the Book of the Month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Hey, just in case you haven't had a chance to check out our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's our website where you can keep in touch with us and find out what's going on with Real Radio and all that involves Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that there is a real easy way to help support this ministry? All you need to do is download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and click the donate button. That's a real easy way that you can help support this ministry. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and get the app. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.